In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna declares that this material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam, a place of miseries, where everything is impermanent. He declares that, which is simultaneously an analysis of this material world. It's not a theistic statement in and of itself. It's just it's an objective statement. At the same time, it is a theistic statement in as much as he's made the world like that. Is it? Or rather, those who have forgotten Krishna have made the world like that. Krishna has made it like that because we, the conditioned souls who are envious of Krishna, have created, misusing the tiny independence we have created this situation. And a situation appropriate for us to suffer in forgetfulness of Krishna. The nature of that suffering has been succinctly analyzed as the various kind of kleshas, adhyatmik, adhibhautik, adhidaivik, adhyatmik, those pertaining to the mind and body, adhibhautik, those inflicted by other living beings, and adhidaivik, that inflicted by the demigods, which appears as natural disturbances. But again, it's ourselves who are, we are the selves, the cause of our own suffering. Purusha sukha dukha nam bhutritve hetu ruchate. Our so-called happiness and our definite distress in this material world are caused by ourselves, by our misuse of independence. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions the four basic miseries of this material world, which can be seen very clearly all around us and perceived in our lives. Janma mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. To perceive these as miserable, anudarshanam, means by taking some instruction as to the nature of this misery. This is one of the factors of knowledge. This evening I'd like to talk about one of them, sickness. Everyone is subject to sickness. It is miserable, no doubt. No one can avoid it. It's part of life. Once in 1966 or maybe 1967, in the very early days of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada was mentioning that these four factors, they're miserable, pointing out that this material world is miserable. Materialistic people generally try to avoid, well, there are different strains of materialistic people, but many of them try to avoid the overwhelming fact that this material world is miserable because they take it as the playground for their happiness. Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddhoham balavan sukhi. They like to live in the illusion of themselves being the controller, the enjoyer, being perfect, powerful, and happy. Lord Krishna points out, wait a minute, there's janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Kim sukham martya dhaminam. It's repeatedly stated in this sixth canto of Bhagavatam. This rhetorical question is repeatedly stated. Where is the happiness? What happiness is there in a place of death? You have to die. if we offer someone, "My dear sir, you choose whatever you, for one day, you just we'll arrange whatever you want, whatever kind of pleasure you want, 24 hours complete pleasure. But there's just one condition. As soon as the day's finished, we're going to shoot you dead." Well, who will choose such a thing? But that's what we're choosing. We're choosing to try to get happiness, which we don't get. But it's always limited by death and also birth, which follows. Jatasya hi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityasya cha. Death is certain for one who is born. And for one who has died, birth is certain. And for one who is alive, for one who is in between birth and death, old age and disease is certain. Old age, in terms of the shriveling of the body, and that may not happen for one who dies early. Disease is there. Yeah, and I was saying in Prabhupada in New York in 1966, one young man protested that he wanted to challenge Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was saying birth, death, old age and disease are miserable. So he challenged Prabhupada, "What do you mean by disease?" As if it's a very profound question. So Prabhupada said, "You don't know what disease is? You've never been sick?" He said, "Well, yeah, I've had flu and mumps and measles." You don't get mumps and measles in India, is it? Measles is there, not much. Mumps, you don't get. You ever heard of it, mumps? You don't bother studying it much because you don't. It seems to be common in the West among children. I can't even remember what it is. I had it, but I can't remember what it is. I think it's some. Anyway, whatever it is. So what the person threw out is supposed to be like a highly, metaphysical, philosophical question. Prabhupada just threw it back. You know what sickness is? You know what sickness is? And it's miserable. And he tried to wriggle out of it. But who can deny that sickness is miserable? Why are the doctors rich? People will pay lots of money. They're willing to pay any amount, practically, to try to get healthy. But for all their efforts, for all the endeavors of all the doctors, sickness seems to be increasing. There are thousands of diseases. How many diseases are there? How many do they say? Several thousand, maybe. Or every part of the body is capable of giving pain. It seems like that. Maybe, of course, if you get a stroke or something, then you could just everything could become numb. This happened to one of our devotees in Salem. We cook on the wood fire, and he didn't notice his hand. He had a stroke. He didn't notice his hand was in the fire and it was all getting burned up. Another devotee had to pull his hand out of the fire. But you see, even a tiny thing like a fingernail. Who's ever had an ingrowing fingernail or toenail? Anyone? I've had it. It's painful. It hurts. A little fingernail, it just starts growing in instead of out and becomes very painful. So practically every part of the body is capable of giving pain, and there are many diseases, and there are more diseases coming. No one had ever heard of AIDS until about, 20 years ago, 25 years ago? And now millions of people die from it every year, isn't it? Several million. It's not reported much in the newspapers because I guess they're afraid of the pornography business, prostitution business going down. I don't know. It doesn't seem to be a big issue. There's so many diseases coming. we understand that disease as with every other kind of suffering and pleasure in this material world, is a response to our reaction to our previous activities. We suffer sickness because we break the laws of nature. That works on two levels. One way is that, just like if you eat too much, then immediately you get sick, unless one has very strong digestion. But then if you go on overeating, then definitely no one can go on overeating for very long without suffering sickness. And there may be a delayed reaction also, that one becomes obese and then he has heart problems, BP problems, and so on. So by not acting, by breaking the laws of nature, overeating or imbalanced eating, actually there are many more people in the world suffering sickness from overeating than undereating. I recently saw some statistics. Imbalanced eating is very common in the modern age. People like fast food and chips, crunchy, crispy, oily, salty, masala, all. So that's on another level. Sinful activities cause reactions. So that's on the karmic level. Now, we may think, well, why do devotees get sick? You see, devotees also get sick. Right? Why should that be? Because devotees are supposed to be free from sinful reactions, protected by Krishna. Krishna loves his devotees. So why should Krishna let his devotees get sick? Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, I believe in the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, sometimes neophyte devotees ask why they're getting sick. As if to think that, well, I'm a devotee and you know, Krishna should come and sort out all my diseases. Well, one reason that devotees get sick is because if they didn't get sick, if everyone just became very healthy by being a devotee, then everyone would become a devotee, but not really a devotee of Krishna. They'd just be using him as a cheaper than aspirin. You either have a choice. You can have a 3 lakhs doctor's bill or just go to the temple and do a puja. 300 rupees. Well, okay, I'll go to the temple. Better. If you go to the temple, then you'll get free from sickness. But there's no doctor who can guarantee cure at 3 lakhs rupees, and there's no pujari who can guarantee a cure at 300 rupees puja. So, why do devotees get sick if they're protected by Krishna? Well, that's one reason why they get sick. It's because they're protected by Krishna. That can be one reason. Krishna wants his devotees to surrender to him. And that's one of the tests, Maya tests, to see if we actually want to surrender to Krishna. There are many kirtans of highly advanced devotees which are often sung by devotees who are not highly advanced, such as Radha Krishna Pranamo Jugala Kisho Jivane Morane Gati Arnahimo. In life and death, I have no other goal than Radha and Krishna, who are my very life. So it's worshipable prayer of Narottam Das. And We can also sing it, aspiring for that level, but at the same time, we shouldn't think that it's just by singing it we're automatically on that level. Sickness is a test. That Krishna is testing, or Maya is testing, to see if we're actually serious to serve Krishna. One who goes on serving Krishna in difficulty, that is a real devotee. Otherwise, if everyone who started chanting Hare Krishna, then Krishna comes and pays your bills, all your old debts, and placates your in-laws who are always on your case, and arranges for your sister's marriage, which you hadn't been able to do, and Krishna comes and sorts out all your problems, mends your, you have a pain in your back, and Krishna mends that, and all right, what else do you want me to do? So, no, that's not how bhakti works. It may be, we don't preach like this, but actually it happens. We see quite often that people who take the devotional service, their material problems seem to increase. If we preach like that, no one will ever take the devotional service, because everyone in this material world is materialistic. But often it happens, and then people go, what happened? I took to devotional service because I had material problems. I thought at least I'd get some peace of mind, but I'm getting more problems. So that is Krishna's test, to see if we actually want to serve Him. And if we actually want to serve Him, then we cross beyond all problems. But Maya will give her tests, and sickness can be one of them. As far as the point, well, devotees are free from sinful reactions, so why should they suffer? Does that mean in the winter that Krishna has to come around them or they have a bubble, a heated bubble that they walk around in, or in the heat, then they walk in an air-conditioned bubble because they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're free from, they can adjust it to whatever temperature they like. Devotees should be free from sickness. Well, Srila Prabhupada gave that example. It's an interesting example because it's not from Shastra, but it's quite appropriate to modern life. The example of a fan which has been just turned off, and it continues to spin for some time. The connection with the source of its spinning is cut, but the residual effect still continues. So there may be some residual effect. As long as we're in this material world, the conditions of this material world apply. But the point is that by one's consciousness one should transcend this. That one should be, just like Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Matra Sparshas Tukauntaya Shitoshta Sukha Dukadaha Agama Payano Nityastangas Titikshas Vibharata. That the happiness and distress of this material world, like the heat of the summer and the cold of the winter, they come and go. Whatever situation we're in, it will change. If we're feeling, if we're having a comfortable situation, it won't change, it won't last forever. And if we have a difficult situation, it also won't last forever. Everything comes and goes. Therefore, one should learn to tolerate difficulty and tolerate happiness too, instead of becoming bewildered. One can be bewildered by difficulty, and one can be bewildered by material happiness also, and forget Krishna. So, devotees appear to suffer. They may appear to suffer in various ways, including sickness. But devotees are those who actually surrender to Krishna. Mahatmanas tumang partha daivim prakriti mahashita. Vajantya nanya manaso gyatva bhutadimavyayam. For those who are fully pure devotees, fully in the shelter of the divine energy, the divine energy, the antaranga shakti, of which the bahiranga shakti, which is also a divine energy, but acts in this material world, the internal potency manifests through the external potency, so it appears that the devotee is affected by material reactions, but isn't. And sickness and other distresses may apparently manifest, but a devotee goes on with his service to Krishna, and in this way remains in the shelter of the internal potency. Vajanti ananya manasa. They go on serving Krishna without being deviated from that. The symptom that they are situated in the internal potency, even though they may appear to be affected by the external potency in terms of sickness, for instance, is manifest that although the apparent sickness is there, they go and they never deviate from their determination to serve Krishna. So actually, then they're not affected in the material by the material energy. They're apparently affected, but they're because their determination. They're apparently affected. It means a devotee can have sickness, and influenza, and so many diseases. But their determination to serve Krishna is not affected. So that proves the point. Through the behavior of the advanced devotees, Krishna demonstrates the glories of bhakti, how a devotee is always fixed in service to Krishna, and instructs neophyte devotees who are being tested by Maya, if they want to serve Krishna or not, instructs neophyte devotees how to go on serving Krishna despite the inevitable difficulties that this material situation is characterized by. So for those who are devotees aspiring to be pure devotees who have to suffer sickness or so many other difficulties, well, it helps us to realize that we're not the controller. As long as one is, actually, if one's in very good health, then there's one tends to have the feeling that, yeah, the body's quite nice, and there's a feeling of, if any of you can, I mean, I remember sometimes I used to feel quite healthy and fit and all these things. So it gives, there may be some euphoria of bodily happiness. And you feel like you can, it gives a sense of confidence that you can do anything. But sickness, it also helps us to teach us that we're not the controller. And even in devotional service, we're dependent. Just like one may desire to do so many things in Krishna's service, and then one is struck down by sickness and you're physically unable to do them. You may think, well, I wanted to serve Krishna, so why am I getting sick? Well, just to show that even in serving Krishna, we are not the controller, we're not the doer. We can't control anything. Even if we want to serve Krishna, we're dependent. in so many ways. The body, we can't control it. So it helps us also to realize that life in this material world is miserable. We're always prone to forget that. When situations tend to become, when situations are comfortable, even if we're doing devotional service, you may start to think, well, material world is not so bad after all. Sickness helps to remind us that this material world is miserable, because sickness is miserable. There's pain or nausea or lack of consciousness, have to sleep a long time. Generally there's weakness and so many symptoms of distress that are associated with sickness. So it helps to remind us that life is miserable. And also, sickness is a reminder that we're not going to be in this body forever. It's very good for reminding us that we're not the body. It's comforting to know that we're not the body when the body is the source of so much distress, when we're actually experiencing. We can talk that the body is, we're not the body, but when you have, for instance, a severe toothache, that's one of the worst pains. There's no painometer. I don't think they invented a painometer. But I heard that childbirth is, that's supposed to be the most painful. Kidney stones, that's high up on the list, on the pain list, right? And toothache can also be extremely painful. Everyone's had toothache, right? Anyone not had toothache? Maybe the little children. Can be extremely painful. This you get an abscess behind your tooth. So, helps to remind us that we're not the body. And sickness means the body is not in perfect order, and it's not going to remain in perfect order, never will be in perfect order. And eventually, however fit and healthy we may be, there's going to come a day when, if we're pious Hindus, our body will be carted off to the burning ghat. Ram Nam Satya Hai. The Sharia is, the body is not permanent. Ram is permanent. So, these are ways in which sickness helps us. But it impedes our service. And we devotees, just like non-devotees, they don't like to be sick, because on the one hand, this pain is suffering. I mean, it goes against the whole idea of the materialist, that the life is meant for enjoyment. And on one hand, they're not enjoying, they're suffering pain. On the other hand, they can't enjoy what they want to enjoy because they're suffering from sickness. But a devotee tries to tolerate the pain. Or it's not every disease gives pain directly. There can also be like nausea, dizziness, various abnormal states which give distress. There's all fancy words for all of these in medicine. What's the word for giddiness in medicine? They just say giddiness? They don't have any fancy word for it? Oh, I'm surprised. All right, I'm wrong. They usually have some Latin-derived word. Peristalsis, words like that, you know. Movement within the body. So yeah, when we're sick, we want to serve Krishna, but we don't know if we'll get better or when we'll get better. Here in Baroda, in about 1990, I was just sitting here doing nothing practically for over a year, with headache and could hardly talk, and I didn't know. I thought it went on for months and months, and I didn't know if it was ever going to get. I'd just taken sannyas about 2 years ago, and then I was okay. Let's go. Let's preach. Let's run here and there, and then I was incapable of doing anything practically. I could hardly even chant my rounds most. I couldn't read. I get headaches. So you don't know when it's going to end. It could go on. I didn't know. I thought it could go on for the whole life. By Krishna's mercy, it cleared up. But it can take over our consciousness, and as much as we tend to think of it as the nature of Maya is that once you start to do something, you think that's normal. Or if you're in any situation, you think that's normal. So if you're lying on a bed for several days, you tend to think it's just normal to be in that situation. And you can hardly imagine what it's like to be healthy and bursting with beans, and you just kind of think that it's normal to be very weak and to have no appetite and to have all the symptoms of sickness. So, another thing is that our sadhana is, if one is sick, then it may be physically almost impossible to do any sadhana. I remember when I just joined at Bhaktivedanta Manor in England, and one of my godbrothers was in the temple. The brahmacharis would all go out traveling, but one brahmachari was traveling, means not just traveling, but just distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. So one of my godbrothers, who was one of the brahmacharis, who's now quite a well-known devotee in our movement, Kripa Mai Prabhu, he was in the temple and he was chanting most of the day. So I said, well, how come? I was new, so they didn't send me out. I had to wait 2 weeks before I went out on book distribution. So I asked, so how come that you're here and everyone else is out? They said, well, I was sick for 2 weeks and now I have to make up my rounds. So if one is very sick, then it may be almost impossible to chant or to get up in the morning, or one may not be able to go to the temple if one has dysentery. Don't go to the temple if you have dysentery. It's not a good idea. So then our sadhana becomes affected, and also just the very nature of sickness is that our consciousness may become affected. Maybe it's like a strong attack of tamagun, and if one has headache, then it's very difficult to think of anything. Just one's overwhelmed by, if one has migraine headaches, where just the fact or the apparent fact, it just takes over one's whole consciousness. All you're aware of is just this intense pain. That must be high on the pain list also, is it? Migraine, headache, there are so many. I mean, everything's pain, so many painful things. So it just like takes over your whole consciousness. very difficult to think of anything, let alone think of Krishna. So it is can be a very severe test if we can remember Krishna in that situation. Therefore, Prabhupada often used to quote the prayer of Kula Shekhar Alva, Krishna Tvadiya, what is that, Krishna Tvadiya? I forgot it altogether. What is it? Krishna Tvadiya Pada Pangaja Panjarantam. Yeah, your lotus feet. Adaiva me vishitu mana saraja hamsa prana prayana kapava samaye kapava kanta kantava rodanam smaranam kutasti. One word missing. So now I'm healthy. I can think of you. Let me die now. Let the swan of my mind enter the lotus of your feet, because at the time of death, when everything, the time of death means the whole bodily situation is so disordered that the soul can no longer remain in the body. All the kapha, vayu, pitta gets totally disordered. So let me die now, he prays, when I can think of you, because at the time of death it's going to be very difficult. So that's also a test, to try to remember Krishna through all that, if we can remember Krishna in intense pain and suffering, which we all are subject to, then that's one kind of sadhana also. We see that many of the sannyasis in our movement, probably most of them, are sick. And probably most of our generation, those who are above 50 and 60 from the Western world, most of them are, I don't know what the statistics are, they have statistics on pretty much everything. But it seems that most of our generation, devotees, non-devotees, are sick due to an indulgent life in youth, breaking all kinds of natural principles, and indulgence in illicit sex, intoxication, meat, unregulated life, often staying up late, not staying up, staying up all night, and all this kind of thing. So now devotees and non-devotees are suffering from various diseases, in general sickness. One reason there's so much interest, or the main reason there's so much interest in yoga in the Western world is for health. People are not healthy. So our sannyasis in our movement then noticed more than others. So others are also sick, but and maybe especially sannyasis, because a lot of traveling, international traveling, crossing time zones, and then when you land immediately, there's so many people want to see you and expect you to do so many things. And so after years and years of this, most of our sannyasis are sick in various ways. Some have been, Satsarup Das Goswami has been sick for many years with headaches, and it's a very severe test. But he made one statement, I remember, in one of his books, that one cry to Krishna amid all the pain is worth many years of confidently charging in Maya. It's a nice observation. Jayapataka Maharaj is now sick unstoppable, keeps on traveling against all doctors' advice. Slowed down, but going on. Srila Prabhupada himself, he was, or even before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we learn from his autobiography, he was constantly getting one disease after another, but his determination to Krishna went on. Gorky Shodas Babaji Maharaj, we don't hear about his sickness, although him getting sick, although his way of life was such that certainly wasn't, his diet wasn't that recommended, didn't get his daily vitamins, or was just eating some raw rice, and not raw rice soaked in Ganga water. Ganga water is not recommended, it's full of, for health, as a meat, I mean, it has to be filtered, it's full of mud. And he'd eat that with a little chili, not hardly anything, and then living outside or in a toilet. At different times he was living underneath an upturned boat, another time living in a toilet. Not recommended for health. We don't hear about his sickness, but probably he wouldn't notice it, and therefore and others also probably wouldn't notice it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he appears to have been constantly sick, but went on traveling and preaching. Prabhupada, also, Harishari Prabhu noted that all the time I was with Prabhupada, he was always sick, although mostly wouldn't be noticed, because he didn't notice it himself. He didn't take it very seriously. But from time to time, he would get seriously sick. So one time Prabhupada, he was leaving New York and he was pretty sick, noticeably sick. And devotees were beseeching him, Prabhupada, please don't, just cancel your preaching program and rest. But Prabhupada said, you don't understand that I want the benediction from Krishna to go on fighting for him like Arjuna did up to his final breath. So that's one approach. Some devotees do that. Tribhuvanath Prabhu, who's famous in England and Ireland for his festival programs, he pushed his body. He would go on doing festivals, chanting all night, his famous inspired kirtans. He'd go on all night. He got cancer at a relatively young age. I think he had just turned 50, and then he died shortly thereafter. So that shows the glory of using, just don't care, just go on, just keep on pushing. Another approach when one gets sick, just to slow down, take it easy. So that, take it easy means don't stop serving Krishna, but not to push the body so severely, so that one can get more healthy for serving Krishna. So the idea that if one takes care of the body, then one can continue to serve Krishna in a better way, and maybe for a longer period. Of course, we cannot say how long we'll live, and we can't force nature to give us a longer lifespan, but generally if one is living a moderate lifestyle, then it's generally expected that they'll live longer. Of course, there's no use in living long unless one is going to serve Krishna. But there's one approach. And Prabhupada also, it's not that he didn't follow that. He said that three things keep my health together. One thing was his diet. He was quite strict in his diet sometimes. He didn't always follow his doctor's orders. Was it diet? No. Medicine, massage, And no, it wasn't diet. Medicine he was taking. I can't remember. It was either medicine or diet. One was his massage he was taking regularly, and his morning walk. Yeah. One doctor, after Prabhupada had a stroke, one doctor advised Prabhupada to take a walk regularly. So he did. I mean, he would adjust his diet according to his health, and he would take medicine, various medicines. He preferred Ayurvedic medicine, although he did take an operation in England in 1977. I believe. His kidney was blocked, so he couldn't urinate. His urinal tract, something. So he took an operation for that. So Prabhupada did take care of his health, and he took medicine. At the same time, he depended on Krishna. So it's like a balance. We shouldn't be so much absorbed in health. Otherwise, we can get in the bodily concept of life. On the one hand, we want to keep the body healthy for serving Krishna. On the other hand, we want to get so much into looking after our bodily needs that we become... The danger is that we become in the bodily concept of life and start to... We become so much concerned with the body, with the idea that we'll use it for serving Krishna, that we become more concerned with the body than with Krishna. And we tend... We tend to think of our situation in terms of our health. Although one of our godbrothers reported that Prabhupada said, first see to your health and then your sadhana. Well, that's understandable, because if one is not healthy, then there might not be any sadhana. But that doesn't mean that health is more important than sadhana. Health, bodily health, has no meaning, has no intrinsic meaning, but it just helps us as long as we are in the conditioned state, or as long as we're in the material body, that this vehicle, we can use it for serving Krishna. So, seeing that devotees, even great devotees like Prabhupada, get sick, we shouldn't think that they're just ordinary mortal beings. Jato deko Vaishnava Bebohara Duk Nishchaya Janeha Taha Primananda Sukh Parananda Sukh. Chaitanya Bhagavat Vrindavan Das Thakur says that when you see devotees apparently in a miserable situation, such as sickness is an obvious example, you should know for sure that it's just another manifestation of their transcendental happiness. It's not that a great devotee like Prabhupada becomes unhappy or miserable or forgets Krishna in his apparently unhappy situation. What would cause others to be distressed doesn't actually cause him distress. Distress, it may appear like that. There may be coughing and symptoms of disease, but he's always remembering Krishna, so he's always in bliss, despite the health difficulty. Whereas on the other hand, someone who is very healthy, they may appear to be very healthy and happy, but they're miserable because they're not thinking of Krishna. And they'll suffer more because they identify with the body and they think, I'm so healthy. And then, however healthy they may be, the body starts to wear out and they die. And they suffer so much because they're attached to the body. So Prabhupada, he advised his disciples, look after your health. He would sign off his letters, hoping this meets you in good health. But at the same time, we don't want to get into the bodily concept of life. Once a devotee came to Prabhupada, He said, "Oh, Prabhupada, I have jaundice." And Prabhupada said, "You don't have jaundice." And he said, "Yeah, I have. You see, my skin's become all yellow. I'm passing yellow urine and yellow sweat." Prabhupada said, "No, you don't have jaundice." Prabhupada refused to accept what appeared to be an objectively observable fact that he had jaundice. Prabhupada said, "You don't have it." Why did Prabhupada say that? We don't know. Maybe he was wanting to release that devotee from his over-identification with the body. Maybe he was stating a philosophical fact that you were quoting, this asango hiyayang purusha, that the soul has no actual contact with material nature. So if you say, "I have got jaundice," when you say "I," if it's understood this "I" should refer to the soul, then there's no question of the... Actually, this one can never actually be sick. But as long as one is identifying with the body, one has to suffer sickness. And it appears to be very real. Then you have to suffer also people coming all the time and asking, "How are you?" And you have to suffer everyone giving all their medical advice and recommending the doctor that you go to, and you'll definitely get cured. And you have to suffer this also. You should eat more, or you should take this medicine, or take this treatment, or this and that. And it's also another form of suffering, to have everyone giving you so much medical advice. Why am I talking about all this? Well, I'm also going through some medical treatment. Not that I'm suffering any serious disease, but serious enough to affect my service. Apart from all the various things that are going wrong with my body, they're just perennial problems. There's just from so much traveling, the general sense of weakness, and just it becomes very difficult to go on traveling constantly, because feeling of weakness, and then a fear that I may get into that syndrome that I got, I was saying, in Baroda in about 1990 or 91, that I might just be doing nothing. So I'm taking some. I may be forced to do nothing because I can't do it. I couldn't do anything at that time. So, just some precaution. And, I have to slow down, not travel so much. Otherwise, the energy will drain from the body more and more and more. As Prabhupada used to sometimes quote Chanakya Pandit, that traveling increases the intelligence, but it decreases the lifespan. So that's why I'm taking some treatment, and I thought to speak about this subject. Of course, we should always remember, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, that it's better to be physically sick and spiritually well situated than to be physically healthy and not have any spiritual life. The real sickness, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said, is our averseness to Harikatha. That's our real sickness, that we're not interested in Krishna consciousness. So, wish everyone the best of health. means Krishna Matirastu. May our consciousness be situated in Krishna. And as far as physical health is concerned, we all have to suffer various diseases. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also advised his disciples once at the beginning of the rainy season, which is long in Bengal, the monsoon season is long and there's lots of rain and everyone gets sick because of the various factors. It's the constant change of temperature, change of humidity, change of weather, and then various viruses go around. It's difficult to digest food, etc., etc. So generally people get sick. So he advised that, all right, now everyone's going to get sick, but just, that will go. Don't be disturbed by that. Go on with our service to Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. Any question or comment about this? Yeah. Yeah. Guru takes away the sinful reactions of the disciple. Disciple means one who follows. Yeah.
The question is, does Guru keep on taking sinful reactions?
Does the Guru go on taking the sinful reactions? Of a disciple who is always falling down. Well, Prabhupada said about those who are falling down, he said that the guru is not obliged to. He was talking about the guru coming back to deliver the disciple. He said he's not obliged to if the disciple isn't following. So really, a disciple really means one who's following. So one's very status as a disciple or condition of being a disciple is, it's not established simply by the formality of going through an initiation ceremony. Yeyata mam prapadyante tams tataiva bhajami aham is applicable in this instance also. How much is one a disciple? By how much one actually lives by guru mukha padma vakya chite te korea aikya ana kariho mane asha.
Sometimes we take some medicines also for sickness.
Sometimes we take medicines, for sickness.
Those medicines may contain some animal extracts.
They may contain animal extracts. Try to avoid, better, don't take with animal extracts. Nor with garlic or onions. But it is acceptable to take medicine with a little alcohol. That's also acceptable. In Ayurveda, any medicine with the name Asava means there's some natural fermentation in there. Srila Prabhupada recommended to the two devotees from the West in Mayapur who are having digestive problems to take the Calmeg extract prepared by Bengal Chemical, which is 40% alcohol, 40 proof. It's either 40% or... But that means you only take one teaspoonful in a glass of water. That's all. Yeah, one more question. Kleshagni. The first symptom of devotional service is that it destroys distress. Well, there's distress is at two levels. There's distress is ultimately a matter of perception. So a devotee, for one thing, is not affected by distress. And also distress, it does become destroyed. Birth, death, old age and disease become destroyed for a devotee. You may not perceive that immediately. Hare Krishna. Wish you all good health. And however much we wish, still people are going to get sick. So remain spiritually healthy.
The subject was sickness, and there was an important point which, as far as I remember, I didn't make it very clear, that as far as cure is concerned, ultimately it's up to Krishna. No doctor, no medicine, no hospital, no treatment can guarantee a cure, or even if there is a cure, it's all up to Krishna. Just 2 days ago, I was speaking with a doctor who regularly comes here, and he was expressing this, that I can understand that we can only assist, or we can only, that was the word he used, assist, but the sense is that ultimately it's up to Krishna whether anyone gets cured or not. He said most doctors think that they are curing. One doctor I went to see with him, he said, I saw there's a picture of Krishna, so I pointed that out. In his office, there's a picture of Krishna. So this is also 2 days ago. And he said, yes, we are Vaishnavas. And then talking of, in Gujarat, Vaishnava, that generally means attached to the Vallabh Sampradaya. So there was some talk, and he was talking about Kankroli. So I asked him, are you under the Kankroli Goswamis? He said, we're not under anyone. They're all our patients. So he was thinking that he is curing. But a more intelligent doctor understands that just like Krishna had Arjuna fight, and he told Arjuna, nimitta matram bhavasavyasacha, you can simply be the instrument by which this is affected. So the doctor can simply be the instrument. And the sickness, cure, no cure, it's all up to Krishna. It's all in Krishna's hands. It's impossible cases, no hope of survival. They can survive. There are so many cases like that. Again, 2 days ago, this doctor, he would happen to be in Indore at the time when a godbrother of mine, whom I've known since I joined, Mahaman Prabhu, who's Indian bodied but was studying from Uganda, I think it was, and was studying in England. He joined ISKCON in England. So he was in a serious car crash. So this doctor in Indore, so this doctor told me, if you see the car, you couldn't believe that anyone could have survived the crash. But by Krishna's grace, he survived. Whereas sometimes you'll find someone that there's no, they seem to be quite healthy, and then they just die. There was in Haridaspur, where we have an ISKCON center, this is many years ago, it was maybe 30 years ago, I was told there was one young Grihastha devotee who was serving in the temple there. Young means maybe 30-ish, like that. So Just one day he suddenly said, "Oh, I have a serious stomach ache." He said, "Oh." Went to the hospital. Before he reached the hospital, he was dead. There's no sign of anything. Maybe gastroenteritis. Maybe. Who's had gastroenteritis? It comes very suddenly and it's very painful.